Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Cowboys.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
But the Cowboys have made too many mistakes.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, NFL Network analyst Maurice Jones-Drew. Raiders defensive end Max Crosby. From the new film Scream, actress Neve Campbell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got a lot going on here today. Neve Campbell of the, I guess you can't say the, it's the new version of Scream.
Reboot?
It's not a reboot. I mean, they're just continuing. They're just continuing the story. You know what I mean? Like, but they're calling it Scream. The first Scream was called Scream. This is now called Scream. There's a Scream 2, 3, and 4. Technically, it's Scream 5, but don't call it Scream 5. You know what you should call it? The number one grossing movie in America. That's what you should call it. Yeah, knock Spider-Man clear off the top of the box office charts. See ya, Spidey. I don't think they have that sort of aggression. Oh, it is Scream. Well, at any rate, long story short, Neve Campbell in Studio Hour 3. Max Crosby, the Raiders, about to join us. I saw this man last night in SoFi Stadium. I saw him. Had my son with me. Coop was hanging with me last night. Did Westwood One radio for pregame, halftime. This man did the local broadcast of the Los Angeles Rams. He is none other than Maurice Jones-Drew. How you doing, MJD?
I'm doing well, Rich. How are you?
I appreciate it. You're traveling back home already. I appreciate the phone call here. I started the show saying that this is the best the Rams have looked all year, and that they're set to win in a way that they weren't even earlier this year when they started as well as they did. How do you take that one, MJD?
I think you're exactly right, Rich. When you look at the way the Rams started, obviously, they started out hot. They were playing well, but they had some struggles. You had some turnovers by Matthew Stafford. They were running the ball, but it wasn't as explosive. And then defensively, they weren't causing turnovers. They were just getting stops and, you know, third down stops. So you look at what happened last night. You kind of look at what happened throughout December after the Von Miller trade. You're starting to see more sacks. You're starting to see pressure from different guys. Troy Reader with the big time hit on the quarterback, I thought was going to be a safety, but he turned it into a pick six. So now they're being opportunistic defensively. And then the other part of this, offensively, Cam Akers is just a different monster with him in the backfield. I mean, he just looks completely different. That's no shade at the other guys. The other guys, Sonny Michel and Daryl Henderson, did a really good job. But you see a difference with Cam Akers there with his ability out of the backfield to run routes or to line up a receiver and have a mismatch on linebackers. And then last but not least, special teams. I mean, special teams was like a Achilles heel for the Rams the first half of the season. And it just started getting better and better. And then to have those punts downed inside the 10 to give Kyler Murray that offensive long field to continue to put pressure on them every time they came out was something the Rams offense capitalized on. And then, you know, Matthew Stafford not turning the ball over is really what you're looking for.
You know, and they're just – Cam Akers is a difference maker. He really is. And I know that we don't have much to go on because of, you know, his rookie season, and clearly this year was a washout up until right now. But, I mean – He you know, he's a matchup problem, you know, outside the numbers too, as we saw a couple times last night. He's got burst. He can also break tackles. He's somebody that if he's fresh legged, right, and can actually get 20 something touches a game, that's the difference maker here in the entire playoffs for the Rams, you could say. You could make case.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much. When you scouted him out of Florida State, you really didn't see that the last couple years or the last year because it was a different coach. But when he had Jimbo Fisher, you saw all that. You saw the vision. You saw the elusiveness. You saw the ability to catch out of the backfield and make guys miss. The suddenness. He kind of checked down in the game, and they got called back for holding. Made one guy miss and was 20 yards up the field in the blink of an eye. So, yeah, he brings a different element to the game. And you have to understand this as well. He's only going to get better because – he's missed the whole season. So he didn't – he played – he had flashes against the Niners in Week 18. You saw what he was able to do last night against the Cardinals, and he's going to just keep getting better. And so he just brings a different element. And you're right, Rich, when they put him out at wide receiver, and a lot of times they'll put running backs out there just to kind of be a decoy and you're just a guy, but they'll throw him the ball. And he ran past one of the linebackers for the Cardinals. I don't remember which one. And Matthew Stafford threw a ball. He just didn't track it all the way. But I tell you what, that would have been a touchdown, too, and that would have been a different – that would have really blew this game wide open.
Maurice Jones-Drew here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your assessment of Arizona? Haven't seen him last night in person.
Well, this is the thing. Arizona always starts hot. They start hot, and then they all – you know, for some reason, they just tell off at the end of the year.
So why is that? Why would that possibly – like, what could something like that be attributed to? Everybody's throwing it on the coach because he had the same problems – in his 5 years at Texas in college. So what do you got for me on that,
well,
do you think?
It's a run game. It's not having a consistent run game, right? When your quarterback is a part of it, that, you know, the read option, that doesn't work in the National Football League late in the year. You have to be able to turn around and hand the football off. And they showed elements and flashes of that last night, but it wasn't consistent, right? And I think a lot of times we get caught up in this air raid thing. We want to throw the ball, and it's awesome, but to win football games in the National Football League late in the year, you have to be able to turn around and hand the football off. And your offensive line needs to go forward, not sideways. And when you do that, you start to wear on the defense. And listen, I get it. Kyler Murray is a tremendous athlete, but he wasn't willing to run last night either. And that was a problem too. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm saying, listen, we only have one game, a one-game season. I need you to break some tackles or make some guys miss and start getting yards. Did you not see Josh Allen against the New England Patriots? Right, and we're not playing in zero-degree weather, so we need to utilize our strengths, which is Kyler's arm and his legs. And so they didn't utilize that at all, and down the stretch, that becomes a problem. And so if you look at a lot of the games, they'll run out of shotgun. They do a lot of those things, but it's not consistent enough. And throwing short passes to the sidelines or screens to the sidelines, that doesn't count as a running game mentally. Now, in the stats, you could say, hey, it's just a short pass. It's the same as a run, but running the ball is a mentality, and right now the Cardinals don't have that mentality to go out and win games on the road in the playoffs.
Maurice Jones-Drew here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so now we get a rematch of the Week 3 contest in SoFi. It was the first loss of the year for Tampa. The Rams won that football game. They knocked Gronk out of it. Remember, Gronk missed some time with some broken ribs. That's the game in which he suffered that injury. They beat him up and took care of business. What about the rematch now with all the chips on the line and a title defense for Tampa?
I think it's going to be a little bit different than obviously Week 3. Obviously, Tampa is completely different with guys being injured or, you know, obviously AB not being there. I know you guys talked about that. But this is the thing. It's their offensive line is really good. If Tristan Wirfs can't come back or if his ankle or foot or whatever – he hurt against Philadelphia is that bad, it's going to be an issue for them because of the Rams' defensive line. Now, I'll say this. The Rams' offensive line has a big task as well because this defensive front for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting after the quarterback. They're stopping the run. They're doing all the things right that they weren't doing in December, and they're playing more confident. I don't know if it's because David's back out there or if it's because, you know, they just simplified some things. They're just playing man-to-man across the board. But those safeties are playing well. The linebackers are fitting to run the right way. So it's going to be a tough task. Don't get me wrong. The question is, if you play man-to-man, who's going to cover Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr.? And I think that's going to be a matchup we need to keep our eye on. And then on the other side, how does Mike Evans fare against Jalen Ramsey? right? They're going to lock him up. You don't have Chris Godwin to kind of be the guy that you have to go to. So it's going to be Chris Evans and Gronk. And how do the Rams cover him? And how do they affect Tom Brady in the pocket? So it's going to be a great matchup. Obviously, I'm going to go with the Rams just because I work for them, right? It only makes sense that I do that.
Yes.
But it's hard to go against the GOAT as well. So it's going to be a terrific matchup, but I can't wait. I know the Rams are excited to still be playing. I know they're excited to kind of, you know, get back on the road a little bit and try to face some of those demons they've had on the road this year. And then the other part is this, is Matthew Stafford, you know, you were brought here to be the guy to lead them to a Super Bowl. Can you do that? Can you be that guy? And the only way to do it is, I think the best way to do it is going between the greatest of all time. And that, I think that'll prove a lot here for the Rams.
Well, I mean, because Brady, one would think, would exploit the depth problems the Rams have at safety in a way that the Cardinals didn't even, you know, attempt, it seemed, yesterday, or weren't able to pull off, right? I mean, how about that as a problem? Like giving Gronk and Brait and Howard a try in between the hashes over and over and over again. Your thoughts on that?
You would think Zach Ertz would have had a huge day.
Right. I don't know what the hell that was. I honestly don't. I mean, and Murray looked so fast with his feet and his decisions. It just, like, you know, I said, again, I date myself. It's like playing a 33 record on 78 speed. You know, like it was, that's what it looked like last night to me.
Well, the thing is this. I mean, the reason a lot of that happened was because the defensive line was getting to Murray early. Right, they were touching him, they were around him, the pocket was collapsing on him, and that's how you help that back end. Now, obviously, the Bucs have a different offensive line and a bigger, stronger one than Arizona, so it's going to be tougher. But anytime you have injuries on the back end, the front end, and I know Warren Sapp was one of our colleagues,
yes,
and one time
he's always telling
you they work together, right? So
yes.
When one is down, the other has to pick up the slack, and you saw that. Von Miller with a big sack early in the start that game, Aaron Donald and Greg Gaines getting tremendous pressure, Leonard Floyd always around the quarterback. The more you can do that and affect Tom Brady, as we know, if you get around him with rushing four and he gets to get those happy feet, that's what you want. And that's how you're going to protect, you know, obviously Nick Scott and Terrell Burgess and, you know, Eric Weddle, again, a guy who, you know, gives us a retired guy's hope that maybe we can play again. Maybe there is a chance that if I get in shape, Rich, that the Rams will call me, you know, if they make the playoffs, if they make the Super Bowl, that I get a couple weeks to kind of get right, and maybe I get a goal line carry.
You're like you're the C.J. Anderson, possibly, of this whole situation?
Sure.
You just roll you down
sure.
a little bit?
I can give you C.J. right now. I just want to be a better version of me, though.
What should Jacksonville do with their head coach?
You know, this is a big one. I think when, you know, I've talked to a lot of people in that organization, I think it's important that you kind of go the Rams route, and then a lot of guys have done it. When you draft a quarterback first overall and all those things, you got to put as much quarterback knowledge around them. You want your head coach to have quarterback knowledge. You want your obviously offensive coordinator to have it. You want to have a quarterback coach that's knowledgeable, then an older guy in the room. And so, to me, if you're going to go and look for a guy to be that, you want those attributes in your head coach. You want a guy that's won coaching quarterbacks or has played coaching quarterbacks. So whoever that guy may be, obviously, you know, I know a lot of people, I've been a big advocate for Jim Caldwell, Doug Peterson, Byron Leftwich. Those are guys that I think Jacksonville, that they should look at, guys that have been there. And to be honest, Byron Leftwich is the guy, when I was there, mm-hmm. was a quarterback drafted in the first round. He understands it. He understands the pressures that many of us may not know, what it takes to play at a high level in that city. And then also a guy that can relate in that locker room and make sure that everyone feels as if their voice is heard and that they're needed and wanted. And so there's a lot of those things. But I think the Jags are doing a great job of just kind of doing that net, interviewing everyone, and then slowly figuring out what they want to do. There's no rush in this. You want to make sure you get it right this time.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the interview process, you told them to make sure you ask the coach, you're not going to kick the kicker, right? That's what you do.
Yeah, like we can't touch the players.
Right.
We can't
get on the plane. Make sure you fly on the plane.
We gotta come back on the plane. I don't know why
Check
we have to
box.
Say that, but we have to do that. Yeah, we gotta come back on the plane. You know, we gotta make sure that we're doing all the little things. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Maurice Jones-Drew. It was good to see you last night, man.
Oh, great to see you as well, man. And listen, I think you may need to come to Tampa. You may be the secret weapon.
Yes, that's me. It's me. I was there the first night against Chicago too. So yeah,
yeah. I'm 2-0. Or maybe your son, and tell him I have.
He was there too. My whole
Hershey bar. So tell him I have a bunch of Hershey bars for him.
Yeah. By the way, you know he saw, like, I brought Coop in just so he could see his first ever press. Feedback.
Oh, the room. And
yeah.
The spread.
And so Maurice is just like, see the candy on the top there? That's all for you. That's what he said. I'm like, thanks, Maurice. My gosh.
Did he snag it?
Yeah.
He got one.
He got in there.
He was a great kid. He didn't want to really, you know, my kids would have been like stealing stuff. And, you know, he's done a great job.
Thank you, Maurice Jones-Drew. Take care of yourself.
All right, you too, Rich.
That's the great MJD right here. Sounds like Leftwich is the guy, don't you think? Why not? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Why not?
You know what the thing about Leftwich that you hear? Because you always hear this, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about this. There's always that I don't know about it, right? Here's two things about Byron Leftwich. Two things, okay? One thing has been a flag that is ridiculous. And the other thing should take care of all your flags, okay? If you think Bruce Arians knows about coaching, you know, and he's only a two-time coach of the year and the reigning current champion head coach who's been around a ton of excellent coaches, starting with Paul Bear Bryant. Okay, let's just say if you think that Bruce Arians knows what he's doing, Bruce Arians was here in this chair to my right, and he said that he was concerned, and so was his family. Remember, he said he was concerned about dying on the sideline.
On the sideline,
yeah. Right? And we're like, what? What do you mean dying on the sideline? Yeah, like. His health, his concern about his health and the way he gets into it and the way that he was handling everything, that he was concerned he was going to literally drop dead. And it wasn't like in any way, shape, or form hyperbole or an exaggeration.
No,
he
was not
literally
kidding.
Meant that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he said that if he comes back, he was going to handpick the guy to call the plays. He couldn't do the play calling anymore.
Too stressful.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who he personally handpicked to call the plays?
Byron Leftwich.
Who's the guy who he got into coaching by telling him, I think you can be a coach, and I think you're going to be an excellent coach? Who's the guy who did that? Bruce Arians for Byron Leftwich. Now, the thing that you hear, oh, Leftwich, I mean, how can he really prove
he's got Tom Brady.
That he's got what it takes to coach a quarterback? Well, it's just Tom Brady. You just show up. Okay, got it. Like, Tom Brady's never been coached or coached hard or doesn't know how to take coaching, all the way from Lloyd Carr to Bill Belichick with Bill O'Brien barking him in between, right? And you know, he can't at all in any way, shape, or form be coached. And also, when you're the guy who's in the headset of Tom Brady, do you think you need Tom's buy-in? Do you think you need Tom Brady to respect you? Or do you think everything that's been done in Tampa is in spite as opposed to in concert with? How's that for pounding the table for Byron Leftwich, who, by the way, knows the position, knows leadership, knows coaching, and knows the area? You want buy-in from your fan base instead of them showing up in clown faces? How about Byron Leftwich, just for instance? I and Jackson DeVille approve this message. Okay, except I don't rappel off of stadiums.
What about everyone in the pool?
Yes, everybody in the pool.
Yeah.
Let's get in the pool.
A pool,
them?
A pond.
Well, the pool is for Byron.
Yeah, the pond's for everybody else.
Yeah, for those who kick their kickers. All right, let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Max Crosby of the Las Vegas Raiders is next.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on our terrestrial radio network to go along with SiriusXM and Peacock. Let's go to the phone lines while Max Crosby calling in shortly. Let us go to Nick in Ohio. What's up, Nick?
Oh, Rich, you know how you had your chest out early December? You know, you finally got that monkey off your back, 10 years, Ohio State off your back.
Seven.
You don't have to listen to that crap anymore.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
We don't have to hear how much a gallon of gas costs in 1991 or that Home Alone was a number one movie. And I could go on because that's all I've been hearing since I was 9 years old.
Yes.
I'm 40 now.
Yes.
And man, I know the football gods, we struck you down hard with that Bo Jackson hit, and we're sorry. Houdini Nation is sorry, okay?
That's right.
And it's just the whole city, man. I mean, I've lived here since 94. My parents grew up here. We moved back after my dad retired from the military. And, I mean, I would wear Bengals shirts in town all through high school, all through college. And I would get laughs. They'd be like, "Why are you wearing that garbage?" and it would be 90% off in early December. I would just grab that stuff. And for us to finally get this this monkey off our back, it's just and to have an MVP quarterback and the best receiver in the football, and it's just I'm shaking, man. I don't know. I mean, I haven't felt this way since I was seven when Boomer was running the show.
I am so happy for you and everybody else in Cincinnati because you have, and I think it's tough for me to say this when somebody is just in year two, right? But sometimes you got to call it as you see it, and this is not going out on any limb here, but Joe Burrow is it, man. He's it.
Oh my God.
He's like that football god, manna from heaven dropping down in your lap type stuff.
And we would have figured out a way to take another quarterback. You know, we would have taken whoever, you know, Akili Smith or you know David Klingler or something. You know, we would have taken an offensive lineman because he, you know, or a speedy wide receiver because he blew up it up in the combine. You know, like. We would have found a way to bungalize it, and we finally figured it out. We finally got a guy that everybody was like, "You've got to take this guy," and everybody was telling us, "Take Penei Sewell, take the." We said, "No, we're taking Ja'Marr Chase. We're taking the guy that got him a national championship. We're running with this thing, man."
Congrats.
The price of gas in 1991 was $1.14.
Hey,
Milk
hey, on.
105 hold and the number one song, Bryan Adams, Everything I Do, I Do It For You.
Hey, one more thing, Rich.
Yes, sir.
For Jeff in Detroit, I feel like I know him. I'm a first-time caller, but I feel like we're a kindred spirit. There's hope, brother. The Lions are next on the clock. I know it's hard. You've been there since 94, but it's going to come for you, brother.
Well, and it's got to be the football god smiling on him because he finally smiled on you for Burrow to do what he did. And again, you know, that 60 touchdown season that put him, don't forget, and thanks for the call, the part about Burrow too, don't forget, it's interesting, when Burrow, when it looked like maybe Cincinnati was taking on New England, I swear to God I did this because so much football happens and it goes so fast sometimes. When it looked like maybe Cincinnati might take on New England, I thought to myself, what happened that one time Mac Jones played Joey Burrow? And I looked it up like, no, that's right. Of course, it was Tua versus Burrow. And that happened 2 weeks before Tua's hip got destroyed, right, against Mississippi State. Remember that game was basically going to be putting on tape for all the scouts who was maybe number one overall in the draft. Like, Herbert was going about his business in Oregon, and we were all just, like, basically saying, okay, That's good. That's all well and good for the Pac-12 quarterback to do what he's doing. But let's focus on what's going on in here in the SEC. And Burrow had his day. He had his day, and he had his 60-touchdown season just as the Bengals were doing their usual drill to, you know, and they got their first overall pick, and it all matched. And lucky for you Bengals fans that he was available, and lucky for you that he had the opportunity to LSU to do what Ohio State wouldn't give him. Oh, I'm going to keep beating that drum. Just let everyone remind everybody where Burrow did his blossoming now that he's the all-time Joe Cool in Cincinnati right now. He's at the zenith. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is one of my favorites from the Las Vegas Raiders. He made the second team All-Pro. He's a Pro Bowler. He is a self-made man out of Eastern Michigan. Ypsilanti, Michigan is where he got his college ball in. Fourth-round pick out of the Raiders, now a grown-ass man making life very difficult for quarterbacks in the league. He's Max Crosby. How you doing, Max?
Doing great, Rich. I appreciate the amazing introduction.
It's the truth.
As always.
This is a fact. These are facts. Okay, how has that loss sat with you over the last couple of days, Max?
It's been, you know, it's been weird. That's probably the best word I can use. I've still been in the facility every day since the season ended. It's been heartbreaking because what we went through and how much we put into it, and it just to end on a last play like that, it's been tough. I just want to keep playing football. That's really all it is for me, and I know the guys wish the same.
What was the toughest aspect of the season for the Raiders, with a lot of tough aspects that, you know, many teams don't know how to face because they don't usually have to face them, Max?
Yeah, you know, there's so many things that I can point to, but there was just a lot of ups and downs and, you know, nothing guaranteed. You know, there was, you know, we got a new coach. We had, you know, new players, injuries constantly. But the one thing that stayed constant was just everyone's attention to detail and the will to win. You know, everybody wanted to just continue to play, even when we were 6-7 and just got beat by like 100 points by the Chiefs. You know, we could have just said, all right, well, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll get ready for next year. But we went on the road, beat Cleveland, came home, beat Denver, went on the road, beat Indy, and then finished it at home and beat the Chargers, you know, all against a really good team. So it's just a collective group of guys that, like, I can't even describe how proud I am of this team and coaching staff. It's been one hell of a ride.
So then I'll ask you for a couple of reactions here, Max Crosby. The general manager who drafted you gave you the opportunity, along with Gruden, who's no longer there, as we know, but Mike Mayock's fired. How does that sit with you, Max?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, man. Mike, you know, the things he's done for me, like you said, he drafted me. He's done so much for me, always looked out for me, constantly just being there. His family, you know, they've always been so good to me and my girl and my family, and I can't say how much I appreciate him. You know, it's crazy. I was just in his office 2 days ago, had an amazing talk, and then the next day I got the news. So, you know, we had a good talk yesterday, and, you know, he's going to be good. You know, he's a great dude, and I can go on all day, but he's a special guy, and I just appreciate, you know, everything he did for me and in this organization. You know, he's been awesome.
What did Rich Bisaccia do this year that kept everything afloat, Max?
You know, Rich is one of a kind. You know, everybody's been asking what's going to happen, and everybody knows my vote. And it's, I made that very clear. You know, I love Rich. I think he's the best man for the job, and he's come in and done such an amazing job. We've won 10 games with a team that's had tragedy, loss, everything you can imagine. And he's found a way to get a group of guys to come together and win football games in January and December, which is rare. So, you know, Rich Rich is the real deal. You know, he's a leader of men, and that's all you can ask for.
Is it true he wrote handwritten notes after the loss to Cincinnati to members of the team? Did he do that? Is that a true story, Max?
He does that. He does that before every game.
What do you mean?
As long as he's been here, he will put a note in your locker before a game, and you'll just he'll say whatever. But obviously that's private. But
sure.
Yeah, I had one, and that was before Cincy. That was, it's before. He's been doing it for years. So, obviously, he's the guy that doesn't want to bring attention to himself. And somebody, I think it was his daughter or something, took a picture of him and
right.
put it on her Facebook, and
I
it kind of leaked. And he was upset about it. He's like, man, I don't want to make it seem like I'm vouching for myself. He's one of those guys. He's so humble, and it's just incredible. So I just, I like to take the time to show him his appreciation, because he'll never do it for himself.
I think there's like 19 eyes in Bisaccia. So, I mean, okay. So, and again, I know you say it's private, but can you give me a general gist of what it's like when you go to your locker and you get a handwritten note from your head coach? What it portrays, what that means, Max?
Yeah, it's just special when you have the guy who's the head coach, the leader of an NFL team, and you get a, you get a letter from him. I literally just talked to him. So I go up and walk in his office like it's, he's my friend. I could really have those conversations. You don't find that often, and it's just special. When you have something like that in the building already, in my opinion, you should keep that. But what do I know? I just, I show up and do my job to the best of my ability, and it's just special having Rich here. He's a special guy.
Well, you know, like when we spoke, I think a couple of times ago on a Zoom prior to the Monday night game in Los Angeles, that was week 3, I think. And who knew at the time that was going to be Gruden's last game as head coach with and for your team? You were saying that chemistry was better than ever, that guys were pulling together and pulling for each other more than ever before. So and the way things actually played out with Henry Ruggs and Arnett, the fact that you guys all did hold it together and won games, made the playoffs, and actually had a possession to try and win it, or tie it, you would know if Bisaccia's the right guy, to be honest with you, Max.
Yeah, having, Rich, just Rich in the building, like even when he wasn't the head coach, he was always a guy you can go to. He was always there for me. He was my guy that on the coaching staff that I trusted, to go and have those conversations with. So, Coach Gruden, I'm not taking anything away from Coach Gruden. He knows I love him and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the players are the ones playing. And Rich cares about the players number one, always. That's what he always says. He's like, the guys in the locker room are the most important. They're the one out there making plays. And Coach Bradley says the same thing. He's always preaching that. At that time, if we have guys that are playing for each other, no matter what happens and all the adversity, you can't win 10 games, with guys that don't care about each other. At the end of the season, we go to Cleveland. It's freezing cold. We're 6-7. The only way we can do that is if we have guys playing for each other, and that's what Rich preaches and all these guys preach. And in this locker room, no matter what happened, we just kept rolling with the punches, and I think people got to see that this year.
Pro Bowler Max Crosby of the Las Vegas Raiders here on the Rich Eisen Show. I got questions to ask you about two moments that the whole country's been talking about over a span of a few weeks. And let's take them in order. First one, the game against the Chargers. You're on the sideline. You're watching time tick down. A tie sends you to the playoffs. A tie sends the other team to the playoffs. Timeout gets fired off by the Chargers. The general sense is that timeout by Brandon Staley led to, no kneel down. Were you guys going to kneel down if that timeout didn't get fired off? Best to your knowledge, Max Crosby?
I've heard so many different stories and opinions on this.
Yes. What's yours?
But at the end of the day, I think we were going to attempt the field goal regardless. That's just my opinion. I've heard a million different opinions on it. But in a game like that, with how much work we had to put in to be in that position, to let them make the playoffs as well and just accept the tie, I just find that hard to believe. So I know Coach Rich, and he's a winner. I know these guys in the locker room, where, you know, we have winners. So I, especially you're playing a division rival. Just in my opinion, I don't think we would have just let them off the hook and be like, all right, we'll just tie it and not risk it. You know, we were there to win the game and send them home. So, you know, that's what we did, and I'm glad that we did that.
Yeah, because if that was me, I would be right up next to Bisaccia, certainly if I'm not on the field, right? And the offense is on the field. And you're David. Where were you? Were you listening in on the conversations?
Yeah.
Where were you?
No, I'm on the bench, exhausted. Okay. I played, I think, close to 90 snaps. So I was just looking at the game, like, oh, we're going to go down. Josh is going to, you know, Josh is going to run the ball. We're going to go and kick the field goal and win the game, and that's what we did. So at the time, I had no recollection of that. So, I was just thinking we're going to win the game.
All right, and then the play that everybody's talking about more recently, because you wound up, because you won, going to Cincinnati. Joe Burrow throws one to Taj Boyd. There's a whistle. Part of the team stop playing or stop the, you know, running as hard as possible because you thought the play was over? You heard the echo of the whistle in that moment, Max?
Yeah, that's another. There's always controversy with us, the least. But, yeah, during that play, I was in pursuit of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just running after Joe Burrow. And in my view, it looked like he stepped out of bounds. So when that happened, I don't know if he did or not. Like, I saw the replay. I don't think he did, but it was very close. And so when he almost stepped out of bounds, he launched the ball, and the second it left his hand, the ref right there blew the whistle because he saw what I saw. It was close, and it looked like he stepped out.
Right.
So we heard the whistle, and then all of a sudden I looked back, and he caught the receiver caught it, but it looked like the DB stopped. So that was just my opinion. Then I saw the replay, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the whistle blew, and our guys stopped, and it looked like the Bengals guys thought it was over as well. But then all of a sudden they just said signal touchdown, and I was yelling at the ref saying, no way, he blew the whistle.
Right.
Regardless if he stepped out or not, I thought they should have stopped it, but what do I know?
It definitely seemed
trying to get to the quarterback.
Right. It definitely seemed, again, it's Tyler Boyd, my bad, that he did seem like the ball had already maybe, you know, crossed the plane of the goal on the way to Boyd's hands when the whistle blew. But you were right there. So as soon as you saw the foot go down near the end, the boundary, you heard the whistle. Crosby, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I just assumed he was out and they blew it dead. And even if he didn't, you blow the whistle, I thought it would be another play or just redo the play or whatever. But, you know, it didn't. That didn't happen. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's over with. It's just, you know, wish we could play a better game and get them back. Because I really do believe we were the better team. We didn't play our best football on Saturday.
Max Crosby here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last one for you. Let's talk about you and what you have become. And, you know, you were very emotional about making the Pro Bowl and what it meant to you personally. What do you want people to know about what you have been through and how you can be used as a model to fight through all that, Max Crosby?
Yeah, you know, for me, I've been through a lot from my childhood. Been through a ton. Growing up, I didn't have the best life. I was a wild kid, to say the least. Went through a lot of ups and downs, battled demons. But one thing that stayed true was I never lost sight of what I wanted to become. I always wanted to be in the NFL. I wrote it and told my teachers, every single teacher from middle school, from elementary school to high school, I kept the same goal. And even though I had some ups and downs, addiction, all type of stuff, I never lost sight of that. And once I got my life together, I started seeing the brighter side. And like, just in my third year, I'm 24 years old and I'm a Pro Bowler, I'm an All Pro, and that just gives me more motivation. So just for people out there, you can do whatever you want to do. People before this season were writing articles saying, telling, asking, is Max getting benched? You know, we signed this guy, this guy. Is Max benched now? Is he going to lose his job? I kept everything. So I just know personally, everybody's going to say whatever they want to say about you. But if you come in and put the work, you can become anything you want. And for me, it's special because I know I'm just getting started. And, you know, I just want to go to a whole nother level next season.
And so how did you pull your life together, Max? Like, what happened? Did something happen that's made you realize that you need to clean up or sober up in a way at all?
Yeah, I think it was just at the end of the day, it was just it became repetitive with my decision making and what I was doing. It just wasn't working. It kept getting progressively worse. Drinking more, partying more, not as dedicated, to my craft and, all that. And football is my number one. So if I were to lose that, that's kind of what it was for me. It's like, all right, I'm either going to go and have fun and do all these crazy things and be done and be forgotten, or I can make a decision right now and change my life, go get clean, and do what I'm meant to do. And I feel like I was put on this earth to play football and be an example for people that went through what I went through. And that's what I'm doing right now. And I just want to continue to grow and take that to higher and higher levels every single day. So that's the thing I can tell people is, if you got a plan to do something, you have goals. Like, I used to think such, big picture. Like, I always like, I want to do this, but I didn't take care of the day to day. And for me, I try to stay in today. Make the most out of my 24 hours every single day and just be positive and be a positive light for somebody else. And I've been doing it one day at a time, and it's showing. And I just, I feel like I'm just getting started, and it's going to be, bigger and bigger every day.
Max Crosby, what a season. What a great season. What a great career you're building. And it's been a pleasure to get to chat with you throughout it. You have a spot here whenever you want. You know that, but congrats on it. I'm really thrilled for you, and I hope you get what you want in terms of your coach and everything else. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it, brother.
Right back at you. At Crosby Max with two X's on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well. That's the great Max Crosby. What a story. What a message. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls. Hour number three coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back here on our terrestrial radio outfit along with Peacock and Sirius XM. So we're just talking about how wild that play was with Burrow throwing it to Tyler Boyd. And Mike Pereira said yesterday the ball should have been out of bounds right where Burrow was deemed to have stepped out, because the whistle wasn't inadvertent. It was blown because the ref thought that he went out of bounds. Now, you could review that if he was running in and out of bounds just with the ball carrier, but he threw the ball in the air. So now you can't review that because there's a whistle involved. A whistle has been blown. Now you can't review when a whistle is blown or not. It's either inadvertent or not. And Mike's saying it's not inadvertent. You ruled that he was out of bounds. So that's it. You blew the whistle. The play's dead. So thus it's not reviewable.
Well, why not, though? Because you're reviewing the spot.
You're reviewing the spot, but he threw the ball in the air. So it's not like he went out of...
But he would have stepped out of bounds before he threw it.
But he blew the whistle, so therefore somebody in the defense can't stop his play, and thus
so bizarre.
So it is bizarre, and you're like, you need football for dummies. And I tell you, I one year when I was doing SportsCenter back in the day, when I had hair, okay? and when our third hour guest Neve Campbell was in Scream 1, this is Scream again, and it's Scream 5, but it's just Scream. Anyway, but back when the Scream series was beginning and I had hair and I was doing SportsCenter on ESPN, you know, the Learning Annex reached out to me and asked, you know, would you teach football? And I'm like, sure, I'll teach football. Not a problem. And I did no preparation for it. I figured I could just stroll in with no curriculum, no, you know, visual help or anything. And I'll just show up and I'll talk. I'll answer questions. I'm a former stand-up comic, right? So I'll just go off my cuff.
Okay.
And then I showed up and there were like 30 people. And, you know, half of them were immigrants who went to this class to learn what we Americans love so much about this sport so they can help assimilate, I guess, in society. Mm-hmm. And so there was a language barrier, and it was ugly because it's just like I had to explain, well, when somebody is tackled, it's when their knee goes down and they're touched. But if they're not touched, they could keep running unless it's college. If it's college football, the knee down means the play's over. Mm-hmm. And then you get four chances to get a first down. It's kind of like what Gillian Jacobs, when she was here, right?
Chances.
When she's like, why don't you call them chances? Why do football call them downs? You should call them chances. I'm like, actually, that's not a bad idea. Why do you call them downs? I have no idea why they're called downs. And I'm supposed to be in charge here. So one gentleman, you got to be about 7 years old.
Seven?
70.
Okay.
Raises his hand in the back and he goes, you know, I watch you on SportsCenter. I brought my wife here so you can help her teach football, and you're doing a terrible job of it. And he wasn't wrong. I was doing a terrible job of it. But I wanted to basically say, well, sir, why don't you teach your wife the game? Why do you have to bring her to a Learning Annex class? What does that say about your marriage?
Wow,
sir. Geez.
Rich, you're a professional.
By the way, I'm sure that's down the hall for a Learning Annex class about talking to your wife on a Sunday. Archie Bunker?
That's 28-year-old Rich responding right there.
Because he's not a football pro, Rich.
I honestly wanted to say that. But I was also, that would have been calling attention away from my terrible job. Terrible. I had nothing set up. I'd just be, okay, so you kick off and let's play football. And then when you try, like, honestly, you try and explain it to somebody who has no idea what it's about.
I've done that many times throughout my life, and it got me to a point where I was like, I can't watch football with someone who doesn't understand football anymore.
I'm just thrilled that one of the non-Americans in the audience wasn't a Canadian, because then you're talking about 55-yard lines and
20-yard end zones.
And I'd be just like, okay,
three downs.
Great cups. You know,
and you gotta explain why Doug Flutie was so great there and not here.
Running towards the line of scrimmage.
Motion.
Yeah, weird.
Honestly, you try and explain it. Now that's why there's a whole cottage industry of rules analysts now.
I told Sapp that every time Sapp comes in, and it's funny because it's Warren Sapp, and you have this, you know, notion of Warren Sapp. He breaks down football to the point where I think anyone can understand it. And it's just like, you would never think.
I think he could fill up a classroom if Learning Annex
for sure
with Warren Sapp. Just don't talk back to the teacher the way that guy did in the back row. That wouldn't go well.